It's the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, your weekly local sports podcast. And now, here's your hosts, Greg Revels and Tony Stowers.
And we're back with Season 3, Episode 22 of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air. We've got a lot of basketball to talk about. Everybody's in full conference mode now. But before we do that, we're going to talk about the number 65. And a lot of number 65s, Tony, that stood out.
Yeah, again, and it's a lot of offensive linemen. That's where we're going to be while we're in the 60s for the most part. Gary Zimmerman, a Hall of Fame tackle, won a Super Bowl with the Denver Broncos. I think he's had a cup of coffee with the Minnesota Vikings as well. Will Oates, good offensive lineman from the New York Giants. John Jackson, Steelers lineman in the 90s, Ring of Honor guy.
Always gets one of those Steelers.
Always.
Yeah. I've got a, let me show it to you. I've got a
listing of all Steelers ever.
Number. The best that's ever wore, the best Steeler that's wore every number.
Every number. Nice.
There it is. See?
Yeah.
There you go.
Makes it easier.
Yeah.
And then Max Montoya, a guy that I really liked growing up. He was a guard for the Raiders and the Bengals. So we're still pretty offensive lineman heavy.
Yeah, and looking at Razorbacks, while he wore different numbers, Billy Ray Smith Sr. wore the number 65. He was a big part of their national championship team and those good teams in the 60s. Then Jimmy Walker, great defensive lineman for the Razorbacks, probably best remembered in that 1978 Orange Bowl victory over Oklahoma.
I best remember Jimmy Walker for Dynamite.
Right. Not quite the same guy. They didn't look just alike.
Okay.
He a little bit more, had a little more meat on his bones than that Jimmy Walker. Yeah.
Do you get the reference?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's, do you? Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he does, but nobody else
will. That's right. That's right.
Tyler will be getting calls through here saying, can you explain the Dynamite?
Yeah.
That's right.
I am blanking on. Is it Family Ties? Is it?
It's good times.
Good times.
That's right. Yeah. Family Ties was Michael J.
That's
Fox.
That's the one.
Yeah.
All those. See, I don't watch them. They all just meld together for me.
I understand. That's enough pre-game stuff. Let's talk about some basketball. We're going to talk about the Leopards and Lady Leopards now. Tony, Lady Leopards and Leopards both had a tough week last week. Played one game that was a blowout and one game that was close. Talk about the Lady Leopards first. Lady Leopards lost to Watson Chapel 73-70 in overtime in a game we both feel like they probably should have won.
Well, even if you go back and look at the foul shots, Watson Chapel, they were impeccable from the foul line.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they missed a foul shot in the second half.
One?
Okay. Mm-hmm. And the Lady Leopards, I'm not sure, shot 50% from the foul line. So, that's a difference in a three-point ball game.
Well, they 20 out of 24 for the game for the Lady Wildcats and 9 out of 19 for us.
There's a lot of professional teams that would take a 20 for 24 from the foul line night.
Yeah, they sure would. But good effort by the Lady Leopards, just couldn't overcome that poor foul shooting. Then, of course, they played Nashville, the Scrapperettes, Friday night and lost 69-42. And
they had a couple of good runs in there. Nashville got out to – well, I thought they were going to extend it out to a mercy rule, 28 or 27, and the Lady Leopards come back and actually cut it to 16, 15, something like that, and then Nashville went on another run. I think that at times we played really well, but the Scrapperettes, who are who we thought they were, to quote old Dennis Green, they got a good basketball team.
Yeah, they really do, and beat us. And then looking at the Leopards last week, they got handled by Watson Chapel pretty handily. Same problem they've had all year long. They go through a scoring drought that's just unbelievably long.
Yeah.
They're getting shots.
Had a two-point quarter in that game.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Yeah. And barely made the 2 points because it was right at the buzzer.
Yeah.
Then come back on Friday night, Nashville, very good basketball, boys basketball team. They get way down in that game, but they come back and get it to 1 point.
I actually have a chance to take the lead with Salacious at the foul line for two shots, down one. If he makes one, we're tied. If he makes both, were ahead inside of a minute and couldn't hit either. Nashville, they do have a really good boys basketball team. I thought the Leopards left it all on the floor, played really, really hard. And I you know, we talked Coach Aaron Worthen. He had talked about that, you know, you think it's coach speak sometimes, but he gave the Leopards a lot of respect when you interviewed him. Mm-hmm. And they played really well in that ball game.
They did. So looking at this week, we get that great Tuesday trip to Camden, Fairview.
Thank you, AAA.
Yeah, I love that. That's local. That's not AAA.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's local.
I just blame them for everything.
Yeah, I know. That's the athletic directors of the conference do that. And then Friday, we get to go to Arkadelphia, so Frosty right there on by the school.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, we know where every Frosty is in Southwest Arkansas.
You can walk to Wendy's from Arkadelphia.
Nice. That's right. Right. And we're not going to, but we could.
Yeah.
yeah. So, Tony, you know, and this week, very, very important for both teams in the conference. Probably Nashville and. For sure, and the girls number one in the conference, and unless somebody shows me differently, and boys probably 1-2 somewhere in there, and so not losing to them at home is not that big a deal, but we've got to get some of these victories right mm-hmm. here on the road against some of these teams because we know, especially with the girls, it looks like five teams fighting for four spots to go to regionals. So, you got getting a win on the road against Camden, Arkadelphia, would be big.
It would be huge, especially Arkadelphia, where we have really had trouble before because you go over there and you're starting out down 10 points.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Would you explain that to me?
I can explain it to you. Yeah. I'll pull up my notes and tell you how many foul shots we've shot over there over the last two or three years and how many they've shot.
Yeah, I know. You don't have to tell me. I'm just kidding you. But anyway, looking for it's a big week this week for the Leopards and Lady Leopards. We'll see what they do.
CCCUA.edu. That is UA Cossatot's website for you to find out everything you need to know about applying and enrolling, programs of study, how to pay for college, all of their athletics and apparel, student life, community and workforce, and so much more. Your medical education will start here. UA Cossatot has the third highest college graduation rate in the state of Arkansas and is proud to be the first and only Hispanic serving institution in the state as a member of the Hispanic Association of Colleges and Universities. We offer degrees and certificates in more than two dozen fields and are a leader in implementing more affordable textbook-free courses and boast a variety of professional industry training certifications, small class sizes, low tuition, and quality online and in-class instruction. UA Cossatot is committed to improving the lives of those in our region by providing quality education, outstanding service, and relevant industry training. And by going to cccua.edu, you can find everything you need to know, again, about campus dining and campus maps, the Center for Student Success and Consumer Information, financial aid, textbooks, payments, career pathways, scholarships, and so much more. Find out their vast amount of programs of study on offer, and you can find out how to apply and enroll right from their great website. Check out the Colts gift shop as well, and you can go to uacossatotcolts.com to find out everything you need to know about the Colts, whether it's basketball, soccer, or shooting sports. Any Colts fans can find all the information that they need and merchandise they need on uacossatotcolts.com, and go to cccua.edu today.
Time to talk about the Horatio Lions and Lady Lions. Horatio Lions lost to Caddo 58-35 and Mountain Pine 65-21, but man, just showing improvements and playing hard, and got some information from Coach Merrick, and he's really likes the way they're moving, Tony.
Well, and I know expectations were not super high for them to at the beginning of the year, so improvement I think is what you're looking for, especially as young as the Lions are.
Yeah, and they're doing well and moving forward. Looking at the Lady Lions, they're 7-6 on the year now, and they had two victories this week. They beat Caddo 50-21 and Mountain Pine 54-44, and just really did a good job, kind of being led by Natalie Dorsey.
Yeah.
But Presley Sprick doing well. You know, they've got several different girls that are playing well and just seem to be winning, doing pretty good. So this week, when you look at the Horatio Lions, Lady Lions, they've got they're at Foreman, and then they've got Cutter at home. That Cutter game is going to be a big game for both boys and girls, I think.
Yeah. They, you know, their conference, kind of similar to the conference that the Leopards are in, top-heavy in some of the boys and girls. But and then that middle is where you're going to make a district or a regional or wherever you're in, and that makes that a big game.
Yep, it sure does.
Yep.
And that, so looking forward to seeing how Horatio plays this week.
All right, I've got Bryce Merrick, the coach of the Horatio Lions, on the line. And Coach, I know you've had some bumps and bruises this year, got a young team, but looks like things are improving, and that's probably the most important thing you can look at with a young team like that.
Yes, sir. One of the things I've tried to remind myself of is this year that we're just trying to learn. I'm trying to learn these kids as much as they're trying to learn who I am and just the X's and O's and how I want them to play and what my expectations are. And fortunately, I'll have all but one back next year. I've only got one senior on the team this year, and I hate it for him that he's not going to be able to be with us next year because he's one of the hardest working kids that I've got. But we're kind of at a point right now where we've kind of separated the ones who are committed and dedicated and want to be there and the ones who have kind of gone by the wayside.
Well, and you know, that's a process. I know this is your first year at Horatio, and that's a process that takes a little bit of time, and both for you and for them. And after you do that, though, it makes it much easier because you have the kids that want to be there and they're committed to getting better and work hard and do the things you want them to do to be successful.
Yes, sir, it does. You know, I don't know if I told you this or if you've heard anything, but we went and played in the little 2-day tournament at Cossetot River over the break, and I had 5 kids show up. Some of that was due to injuries. Some of that was due to just kids not being dedicated and committed to it. But, you know, I tried to emphasize to them, we're not going to worry about who's not here or where everybody's at, but we're going to worry about and focus on us and who is here. Cause obviously this is the group of guys that cares about it and wants to get better. And those are the kids that are easier to coach, that make what we do as coaches enjoyable.
Yeah. And so just tell me a little bit about the season, the last couple of games and what you got for the next couple of weeks.
Yes, sir. Well, as I mentioned, that tournament we played in at Cossetot over the break, and I can't say enough, Greg, about those 5 boys that were there that stuck through it and played as hard and as tough as I could have asked them to play, knowing that they don't have anybody come in to get them a breather. But this past week we played Caddo Hills, saw a lot of improvement there, a lot of good things. Just, I think it was good for them to see kind of the payoff of, you know, I think you kind of feel like you're beating your head against the wall when things aren't going your way, night in and night out. But I think they were finally able to see some of their work pay off against Caddo. And then we went and played at Mountain Pine Friday night, and they beat us pretty good. We didn't respond well to adversity in that game, and I was disappointing, but we'll get back on it tonight. We go to Foreman tonight to wrap up the first rotation of our conference schedule, and then we will start over this Friday with Cutter coming to Horatio.
Yeah, well, you know, one thing talking about the last Friday night, you know, I think probably with a young team like that, it's kind of a 2 steps forward, 1 step back. You know, every once in a while, you're going to have some of those times that you don't they kind of regress back to where they were before, and you got to encourage them to be what you want them to be again, and if that's a good way to put it. I know that tough week this week. If you got Foreman, you got Foreman because they got a good ball team, and then and Cutter again has a good ball team. But you know, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me for a few minutes, and I just look forward to seeing how you do with these young kids the rest of the season.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it, Greg.
Have a good day.
You too.
DeQueen Animal Hospital and Ashdown Veterinary Clinic. DeQueen Animal Hospital at 1690 Highway 70 West right here in DeQueen. Give them a call at 870-642-8387. That's Vets. And you can schedule your appointment today or ask any questions that you might need. And Ashdown Veterinary Clinic at 139 Southern Drive in Ashdown, 870-898-5181. Schedule your appointment or ask any questions with Ashdown Veterinary Clinic as well. Martin Veterinary Services has been a proud sponsor of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air since the very beginning, and we appreciate them so much for that, and not only that, what they do for the community, and that is offer high quality veterinary services to everybody here, whether it's just simple stuff, spaying and neutering, or medications, checkups and things like that, down to more serious things. You can trust Martin Veterinary Services to take care of you, and don't just take my word for it. There are a ton of good reviews on Google and across the board. You can check out their Facebook page as well, DeQueen Animal Hospital / Ashdown Veterinary Clinic, and hundreds of reviews, all 5 stars. And, you know, you always need to be able to trust the person that you're taking your pets to, and Martin Veterinary Services is the one. I have used them for multiple occasions, whether it's with my dogs or my cats, and they've been an absolute delight. Such a blessing to have them in this community offering these services. So we appreciate them so much, and you can go to DeQueen Animal Hospital or Ashdown Veterinary Clinic today for all your veterinary needs.
It's time to talk about the Foreman teams and the Gators, man. They are blowing and going. They're 10-2 on the year. They beat Dirk 60-57, and they beat Mountain Pine 83-75. You know, they got Victron Moore. Love that name.
Yeah.
Love Victron.
Hayden Easter.
Hayden Easter, man.
And they're scoring a bunch of points.
They are scoring a bunch of points. And, you know, just doing really well. Lady Gators, they're 1-9 on the year. Tough week last week. They lost to Dirks 74-7, and Mountain Pines 65-21. Just got to keep plugging.
Yeah. That's
exactly. It's kind of like the inverse of that record.
Yeah. Just kind of got to keep on doing. Just kind of like we talked about with the Horatio boys. You got to just look for improvements where you can find those things and get better every game, and that's all you can do. Tuesday, Foreman plays Horatio, which we just got through talking about.
That's going to be a great game.
It is going to be a good game.
Yeah.
And then Thursday, they're at Caddo. So they get to go play in the dark, Tony. That's the darkest gym I've ever been in. I'm not kidding you. It's like they got one light.
Yeah. Is it like mood lighting?
Yeah, pretty much. And it's not a good mood.
Like, you ever been to a junkie steakhouse where you get, they have the lights?
They got the little fake candles.
Yeah. So you can't see how bad the food looks.
That's right. You're trying to figure out, what is that?
Is my steak even done?
Is that steak? Or am I cutting my baked potato? but anyway, they're going to Caddo, and look forward to seeing how they're going to progress this week. Time to talk about the Ashdown Panthers and Pantherettes. Both teams, Tony, having a tough time.
Got to talk to Jim last week and text back and forth with him this weekend. Interesting thing about that is Leopards and Panthers going to start playing football again. And we got to talk about that a little bit in the non-conference. But Ashdown boys dropped 2 this week, dropped a 56-38 decision to Center Point, and lost to Falk. Don't have that score for the boys or the girls, but that makes the Panthers 1-12 on the year. Pantherettes 3-9 on the year. They lost to Center Point 46-29, and again to Falk, and that score hasn't been put on Scorebook Live, and so we just know the result.
Yeah. All right. So this week they're going to Bismarck, and then Harmony Grove comes to Ashdown to play, we'll get with Jim next week, see how the Panthers and Pantherettes did this week. And it's time to talk about the Legacy Warriors and Lady Warriors. They played Hayworth Friday night and came out on the short end of the stick. The boys came out, lost 83-39, and the girls lost 47-26. So tough games over there in Hayworth, Oklahoma for the Warriors and Lady Warriors. They were led by Skylar Alexander in the girls' game.
Hayworth's not an easy place to play.
No, it's not. It's not an easy place to call a game either.
It is maybe a harder place to call a game than it is to play. But you kind of got to get in that Hoosiers mindset.
Yeah, that's true. And so we'll see how they do next week. We appreciate them coming, calling in.
Jobs.pilgrims.com. That is the website to go to see everything that Pilgrims offers in the way of careers. The leading global provider of high-quality food products, including well-recognized brands and value-added premium products. As one of the world's largest poultry producers and a fully integrated pork producer, Pilgrims has provided wholesome quality products to customers and consumers for more than 7 decades. And they have over 58,000 team members, taking great pride in providing more than 133 million daily servings of protein to retailers, restaurants, food service providers, and consumers around the world. The company includes 39 production facilities and 27 prepared food facilities in 14 states, the UK, Puerto Rico, Mexico, and Europe. Pilgrims is proud to partner with more than 4,900 family farms for poultry and over 6,300 family farms for hog and lamb supplies. Their vision guides everything they do to be the best and the most respected company in the industry, creating the opportunity of a better future for their team members. I'm talking hourly production, plant operations and support, drivers, research and development, quality assurance and food safety, human resources, sales and marketing, accounting and finance, professional opportunities. If you think you could be an asset to the company, you should go to jobs.pilgrims.com and even check out their benefits, better futures, insurance, growth. There is no better company to take ownership of your career growth than JBS. Explore the opportunities for development with a global food company. Take advantage of more than 2,000 courses in their development learning program offerings, online learning and ad hoc courses, 401ks. With your 401k, they offer company match, long-term tax benefits, investment options, and geographic flexibility. And of course, paid holidays and time off. So all of your benefits taken care of, your career taken care of, absolutely amazing. And that's not even to get into their community action that they take here, right here in Southwest Arkansas and all over. Whether it's community events, fundraisers, you can always see Pilgrims participating in some form or fashion, whether it's providing chicken for fundraisers and just so much more. They're always a huge member of the community. They employ so many people here, and it's a perfect fit for our podcast. Of course, we love having Pilgrims on. It makes total sense, and they're big supporters of all the local sports in the area, always big supporters of our radio station and everything. So we're so appreciative to have them on board. And if you're interested in joining their team, you should go to jobs.pilgrims.com. And now it's time for my favorite part of the show. And that is the, whatever it is, it's the award show. Segment part of the program thing, and I'm excited for it.
Sponsored
by Hooked on Phonics.
Is it sponsored?
No.
Need a sponsor.
Well, it's individual.
Need a sponsor for the whole thing.
Yeah, dude. We do.
We really do need one.
Yeah. Let's kick it off.
All right, let's kick it off. Let's start out with the Shelter Insurance Jeff Woods Agency Leopard Player of the Week.
Going to be Ellie Morphew. Ellie had 15 points and 18 rebounds, Dennis Rodman-like, versus Watson's Chapel, 14.7 rebounds versus Nashville. Ellie is at 714 on rebounds for her career. There ought to be something given away for that.
Can't argue that. Domtar Panther Player of the Week, Tony.
Going to be Kaylee Dancer. She led the Pantherettes this week.
I've heard that name before.
A couple of times.
Yeah. Now we're going to go to the Horatio State Bank Line Player of the Week.
Isaiah Samuels going to be our Line Player of the Week.
And the Horatio State Bank Gator Player of the Week will be?
A young man we've talked about before, Hayden Easter, will be our Gator Player of the Week.
All right, we move on to the Loveless Refrigeration Scrapper Player of the Week.
Jonte Taylor, 19 points and 13 rebounds versus DeQueen Friday night.
All right, and the Shelter Insurance Todd Moore Agency Outlaw Player of the Week, and that's going to go to Rayleigh Walston. Union Bank of MENA Bearcat Player of the Week will be?
Going to be McKinley Sullivan for the Lady Cats, who are having a great year this year.
All right, and we'll move on to the Stillwell's Restaurant Warriors Player of the Week.
Skylar Alexander had 12 points in the loss to Hayworth.
Union Bank of MENA Eagle Player of the Week.
Going to be Gwen Bradshaw for the Lady Eagles.
I've heard that name before, too.
Me, too.
Yeah, now we move to the Area Awards, and the Toad Thumper Lures Girls Player of the Area is going to be?
A young lady we seem to talk about every week in one way or another is Natalie Dorsey from the Horatio Lady Lions.
And the Horatio State Bank Boys Player of the Area will be?
Going to be Demetrius Shelley from the Nashville Scrappers, 27 points and 10 rebounds on the week for the Scrappers.
All right, and the overall Mud Creek Design Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air Player of the Area and the winner of the T-shirt this week?
Going to be Landry Ligon. Congratulations to Landry for going over 1,000 points for her career as a Lady Leopard.
Nice.
Yeah, a fine young lady and a really, really good basketball player.
Yeah.
And we've got one more thing to do. We've got the DeQueen Motorsports Game of the Week this week, and that will be?
Going to be that rivalry between Horatio and Foreman. And
better bar the doors.
That's exactly right. And get there early.
That's right. It'll be full, and it'll be blowing and going.
All right, I think that wraps up all of the high school area sports, but we always love hitting on some more national topics, and this talk is brought to you by MENA Pre-Owned. For all your pre-owned car needs, hit up MENA Pre-Owned today.
All right, thank you to MENA Pre-Owned for sponsoring this segment, and we're going to start off talking about the NFL playoffs. Tony, anything surprise you from the first weekend of the wild card games?
Well,
just I know there's one game left. Your Steelers.
There's one big, huge game left.
Yeah, your Steelers against the Texans. But other than that,
that all the games were they were great games. A lot of times you get to this first round of the playoffs and there's a lot of blowouts and things like that. That was not the case this year. Rams edged the Panthers. A lot of people thought was going to be a blowout. Rams win by three. The Bears and the Packers game was a incredible game.
Horrible game.
Well, depending on who you was rooting for, I guess.
Well, it was incredible, but neither team deserved to win that game. They just both played at different times, played really poorly.
Right.
And now, you know, the comeback was amazing.
Well, I bet you Toto would be up for a replay of that.
I bet he would.
They can play tomorrow.
Yeah, I bet he would be too. But, I think didn't mean to interrupt
That's
you,
okay.
But I was just thinking, you know, when I watched that game, when you're down in the first half, I can't remember what it was, but you're on your own 35-yard line. It was 30-something yard line. And you go for it on fourth down. That's not football. I don't know what you're doing when you do that.
Yeah.
To me, you're giving up. Now, they ended up winning the game, which just goes to show you how bad that Green Bay played. But, you know, I'm going to tell you something about that game that you see it over and over again. Momentum.
Yeah.
And little things that you think don't matter, they clanged an extra point.
Yeah.
And that was a turning point in that game, Tony.
Well, there was a time in the NFL where – If you had a 2-touchdown lead in the fourth quarter, I mean, you could turn it off and go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
That same team could lose by 2 touchdowns in the NFL anymore. Nobody can hang on to a lead.
No.
Nobody can.
No. I mean, it was crazy. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
The Bills and the Jaguars may have played the best game of the day.
Yeah.
As Josh Allen and Trevor Lawrence kind of dueled it out. And Josh Allen, you know, a lot of people think that this might be the Bills' year because all Mahomes is not in the playoffs and some of these other great quarterbacks, Joe Burrow, people like that. But Josh Allen is banged up, and he's even more banged up after yesterday. And I have a hard time seeing them going to Denver and beating the Broncos after the Broncos get a week of rest.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I did think they would beat Jacksonville, but it was close.
Oh, it was, yeah.
Yeah, it was just right to the end. But I don't know. I'm not sure anybody can beat Denver.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that at home, I'm not sure anybody can beat them either.
That's what I'm thinking.
And the Eagles and the 49ers, I know this broke your heart to see the Eagles get beat.
Yeah, I hated that. Hey, we're going to have a new champion.
That's exactly right. And, you know, the 49ers, another team that's really beat up, you know, that's got several injuries, and now they've lost George Kittle for the rest of the playoffs. So, tough break for them. As far as the score, the margin of victory goes, the worst game of the weekend was the one last night between the Patriots and the Chargers, but it was still a really good football game as the Patriots beat the Chargers 16-3, especially if you like defense.
Yeah, so, that didn't hurt my feelings either.
Well, you're a big Jim Harbaugh fan,
yeah,
I know.
Anytime they lose, I like it. Going back to the San Francisco-Philadelphia game, you know, they play a really good game, beat the defending champions. Guess what they get? They get to go to Seattle and play the Seahawks.
Yeah.
Man, the Seahawks, I don't know that – well, I'm not going to say that. I started to say that these two teams, you know, they've really separated themselves this year, though.
They have.
Denver and the Seahawks.
Yeah.
In
the NFL means they're getting ready for a butt kicking next week.
That's probably right. Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
But of course, the one game left tonight is the Texans at the Steelers, and we already know because of the results earlier in the weekend that the winner will play at New England. The Steelers have already beat New England once this year. I don't know if the Texans and the Patriots have played, but if the Steelers could pull out a win today, I'm not sure they could have got a better draw in the second round. I'd rather play New England at New England than the Bills in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I've been called a dogmatic optimist before, not in a football sense, but in a religious one. I think the Steelers, this game tonight will be a really good football game. I think the spread is 3 points, and I think that's the kind of game it'll be. It'll be a 3-point game one way or the other.
Yeah, I believe so, too. And you know, looking forward to whoever plays the Patriots, I keep thinking Drake May's going to mess up. I mean,
the Steelers did force him into 4 or 5 turnovers in their first meeting.
Yeah, and so I think that may be something that happens. Maybe not. I mean, he's doing really well. So
he is.
But anyway, when you look at that, and so we'll leave out the Steelers or the Texans versus the Patriots. What game of the second half are you looking forward to most?
I think Kyle Shanahan right now is the best coach in the NFL. And I think if anybody could go in Seattle and beat the Seahawks, it's the 49ers, even without George Kittle. Yeah. So it's probably that one.
Yeah, I like that game, too. I just hope they're not too beat up.
Yeah.
You know, I like that game. You know, I also am going to enjoy watching Buffalo and Denver. That'll be fun. Because one of the things about Denver, at least Buffalo plays in cold weather. So that cold weather is not going to have the effect at Denver that it does for some teams.
Right.
And so
Rams and the Bears have a chance to be a good game.
Yeah, it could be a good game, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really could be. So moving on from that a little bit, coaching changes. Black Monday was last Monday, and we find out a lot of coaches got fired.
Well, we did find out that at least as far as the Ravens were concerned, the Steelers-Ravens match last week was basically loser leaves town.
Yeah.
And John Harbaugh actually did have to leave town.
Yeah.
He was fired by the Baltimore Ravens after 18 years of relatively successful. I mean, a lot of teams would have loved to have had the success the Ravens have had over the last 18 years. And the Ravens say, no thanks.
Yeah.
And I always say this, and what's happened in college football is a perfect example. Penn State firing James Franklin, and ended up with Matt Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
lateral move at best.
Oh, it's not. I don't think it's even lateral.
I know,
yeah,
but give them the benefit of the doubt. That's
plus they're, you know, they're paying that big buyout.
Uh-huh.
But you know, for the Ravens, who's out there that they think's better than John Harbaugh?
I don't know. Maybe they think they're going to get the Pittsburgh coach.
Get Tomlin. Well, I imagine the win last week probably solidified Tomlin probably coaching in Pittsburgh for at least another 3 or 4 years, as long as he wants to coach there.
Yeah.
So
I think, you know, one of the things, Jason, what's his last name, the coach for the Cowboys.
Oh, Garrett.
Yeah, Jason Garrett, their team's looking at him.
I think
they're looking at him.
Well, you know, and that's the NFL. The NFL is a retread league, man. They just, instead of looking into the college ranks and trying to, you know, be a little innovative, everybody just looks for a retread. You know, wouldn't surprise me if Rex Ryan gets on somebody's radar.
Would it? That defensive guy for San Francisco, Saleh,
yeah,
who was a Jets coach,
yeah,
and was,
oh, he's
horrible
on a lot of teams' radar.
Oh, yeah,
yeah, they were
well,
awful.
I think that
he had Aaron Rodgers and they were awful.
Yeah, he's got like 6 or 7 teams looking at him.
Yeah, I don't get it.
You know, I guess they gave up on the offensive coordinator for the Patriots.
Yeah, McDaniel.
McDaniel, yeah. He's been a head coach a couple of times, but he never did well. And I hadn't heard anything about the Raiders. Fortunately, Pete's gone. You know, it's time for him to go.
Put him out
I'm tired
pasture.
Of watching him chomp gum. You know, he's the best gum chomper I've ever seen. But I don't know about coach. But
would you see where the Dolphins have hired Troy Aikman to kind of advise them on coaching decisions and quarterback decisions and things like that?
Mm-hmm.
And you and I talked about it, and I'd even seen on social media where the Dolphins are really interested in John Harbaugh.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you know, so also, well, a little side note with that, Lamar Jackson, that's where he's from.
Yeah.
Is Miami.
Yeah.
So you just wonder, you wonder what's going on behind the scenes.
Well, didn't they let Tua go too?
Well, I'm not sure that it's official yet, but yeah, they give every indication that they're going to get Tua go.
Yep. And
there's timing in that that has to do with the salary cap.
Right.
They may have to wait till March to do it or something like that. But they're not. Tua's not going to be playing quarterback for the Dolphins next year.
Yeah, and Matt Ryan, they hired him as president of football operations for the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah.
And so interesting bringing an old quarterback back. And I think, you know, as we look at all this stuff, you know, I used to be naive enough to believe that it was all about wins and losses. It's all about money, you know, more so than anything else. And I think that's where Harbaugh fell in. They just didn't get over the hump enough times. He was right there.
Yeah.
But he didn't get over the hump enough times. They said, we're going a different way.
Well, and I think a lot of how good a coach you judge John Harbaugh as is what's your opinion of Lamar Jackson. Because a lot of people think Lamar Jackson's a top 5 quarterback. I do not.
No.
But a lot of people do, and they think that the Ravens ought to be in the Super Bowl talk every year. Now, you've got Derrick Henry, too.
Yeah.
You know, that ought to put you in the Super Bowl talk.
Yeah, but here's the deal is they're all getting old. So now when they go down, this new coach, they're going to blame that on Harbaugh.
Yeah.
And then they can rebuild.
Well, that's what the Ravens are going to have to do.
Yeah, that's right. And I think they'll blame it on Harbaugh.
Yeah. I mean, if depending on what the Browns and the Bengals do, I mean, if with a really good move or two, the Steelers could own that division again for a while.
Yeah.
It depending on where they go with Tomlin and Rodgers. Rodgers is already saying he wants to play another year for the Steelers.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Well, it probably a mistake,
but it's a mistake for the Steelers.
Yeah, that's what I meant. We'll talk about it. We'll see what happens with that. But you know, that's the thing about we talk about these other coaches. You know, Tom Brady's involved with the Raiders to a large extent, and I think they're realizing that some of these guys have some input that can be valuable to them, and I think that's probably not a bad thing.
No.
I mean, we've talked about Tony Romo and the way – I mean, if you don't care for either team, in my opinion, he's one of the best announcers there is.
There's no doubt about it.
And he gets hard time all the time.
Well, it's got to be Cowboy haters, but the I think there's no way you could pay a coordinator what Tony Romo is making as a broadcaster.
No,
but he could be my head coach or play caller.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
And so I don't know. When teams line up in formations and he's watched so much film that he can tell you what the play is going to be,
yeah,
that guy needs to have a headset on.
Yeah, yep. I agree. Or in some form or fashion.
Yeah,
that's right. Well, moving on to college football, we're down to the national championship game, which will be played as we record this a week from tonight on the 19th, and it's Miami at home against Indiana. Think that's going to help Miami any?
Yeah.
Can't hurt them, can it?
It can't, because I've read, and I never knew this until Indiana started being relevant, which is lately, that they have the biggest alumni fan base in America. Indiana does. And Google it. and
bigger than Notre Dame's?
Yes, they have the biggest alumni fan base in America. The they went to, at the game the other night. I mean, it was, Oregon had a few people there. You saw a little green, but it was dominated with red. And so I imagine Indiana will travel well to Hard Rock for that game. Greg's Googling it as we speak.
Oh, they will travel well. But, and there'll be, there's going to be a lot of people there. There you go.
What it says, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you wouldn't think that a school like Indiana would run that many people through their university. The requirements must be really low. But, but they do. They have one of the biggest, it may be the biggest alumni fan base, which may explain where that quick NIL money came from for them.
Yeah, could be. And surprisingly to me, Notre Dame's not in the top seven.
Well, Notre Dame's a tiny university.
Yeah.
I've been there. My dad had one of his little league baseball players played professional baseball, and he had a stop in South Bend, which is the double-A team. At that time, they all move around now, but they were the double-A team for the Diamondbacks. And they had a night where they honored the kids' little league coaches. So I took my dad to South Bend, and they had him out on the field and things like that. But one of the things we made a point to do was go by Notre Dame. Notre Dame's no – if the actual campus is no bigger than Marshall. No bigger.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not huge.
No.
But they've got – maybe that's the difference between alumni and fan base.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, that's right. So that's something. Moving on, talk a little bit about Razorback basketball. They stunk Saturday. How's that? But, they came out of that week 1-1 with two road games in the SEC. I probably would have taken that.
But not the way it happened.
Well, they didn't need to play like they played, but, man, Auburn just got hot, and they couldn't stop them.
Yeah.
And that happens sometimes. It's one of those burn-the-tape games, that you just got to move on and forget about it. You played poorly. The other team shot lights out, and then just move on and try to do better this week, because they got South Carolina this week. And then a week from tomorrow night, Tuesday night, they've got Vanderbilt, who's undefeated.
Who do they play Wednesday?
Wednesday they play South Carolina.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
okay. And that's home?
That's at home.
You going?
We're going to talk about that.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That depends on you.
So. I've told you to go.
I know. And I probably am.
Okay.
So, anyway, a little disappointed in that, but, do you not think that you're going to have one of those every year? Most teams do.
Oh, yeah. You're going to have a clunker.
Yeah.
Or two.
Yeah. And
when you start having multiple ones is when you got to get worried.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yep.
That's right. But anyway, I'm going to guess they have to come to Bud Walton at the end of February. I bet you it'll be a different story. You want to bet? I'll bet you that right now. But anyway, looking at the next thing got down, Tony's got is the JMU Indiana Vanderbilt connection. And, what he's talking about there is JMU, their head football coach, Signetti, went to Indiana. Their head basketball coach, whatever his name is, don't know it.
It's Mark Blankton.
Okay, he went to Vanderbilt. They're both doing incredibly well.
Vanderbilt's undefeated.
Yeah.
Indiana.
Undefeated.
Is undefeated.
Yeah.
So
I'm going to say Indiana's
JMU juju.
Yeah. Indiana's got a better shot at going undefeated than Vanderbilt.
I'm going to say you're right.
That's
the reason that's on there. And I beat this to death like a rug on a clothesline. But there's a lot of good coaches out there coaching at these smaller schools that if given a chance, they're better than any retread you could find. I really believe that. And this is just another example of it.
And I don't argue with you one bit, but it's still about money. And who can get the most money. You know, and I that's what I think. But
I'd say Vanderbilt has plenty of money.
Probably.
Yeah.
They probably
do. They got a lot of smart people.
I saw one of their quarterback was one of the top 10 NIL paid players.
Yeah.
Got like $3 million.
He's a little mouthy, too.
Yeah, I know it. I know. But, you know, anyway, I don't want to talk about that. Lots of basketball going on, finishing up football here, and anything else you want to talk about?
No, I think as far as national stuff, I think we have about covered it. It'll be interesting to see. We'll have interesting discussion about the NFL playoffs next week, and we'll really be on deck with the national championship football game. So,
who are you picking for that?
Probably Indiana. I don't know how you pick against them.
Yeah, I'm going with Miami.
Are you?
Yeah.
Tuttle, he was here in August saying he thought Miami was going to win the national championship. Uh-huh. So I'm sure if he's here, he'd stick by that. But,
yeah.
Man, I mean, Indiana, they're not only beating people, they are thrashing people. They thrashed Alabama. They thrashed Oregon. Mm-hmm. And I can't imagine that Miami's that much better than Alabama and Oregon.
No, I don't think so either.
Yeah.
But they're due for a little off game. And we'll see. Hey, I'm going to tell you, my heart, Indiana.
Yeah.
I don't like Miami, never have, and I probably never
nothing
will.
Nothing against Cignetti, but, I mean, he's over there and a call goes against him or a play doesn't go. He looks like Forrest Gump standing over mm-hmm. there.
That's because he already knows the outcome, Tony.
He very well may. He's got something going on. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
If he's made a deal with the devil or what's going on, but Cignetti definitely has him rolling.
Anything else you want to talk about?
I think we're good.
All right. Well, that's it for another week of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air. We appreciate all the people that sponsor us each week. We couldn't do it without you. We appreciate the coaches, the play-by-play guys, anybody that gets us information. We just appreciate you for doing that. And most of all, we appreciate the kids because we couldn't do it without them. And that's who we do it for. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.